Yes, good morning. Thanks all for coming. 8:30 on a Friday morning is certainly for the hardcore tech edders. So fortunately for us, we don't clash with Mark Rasinovich. Check that. So we've got a great session for you today. My name's Ben Watson. I'm the StoreSimple technical lead in the UK for Microsoft.
And I'm Scott Ferguson. I'm a global IT manager for Genesis Oil and Gas Consultants Limited.
As I mentioned, we've got a great session. Scott's kindly agreed to share his experiences with StoreSimple at Genesis over the past year. He's given us a lot of detail for that. But first, as a level setter, I want to spend a bit of time talking about Microsoft's hybrid cloud storage approach and what we actually mean by this and the problems we address. And as this is a tech ed session, a bit of technical detail for you guys to chew over as well. So before we look at anything that claims to be a solution, we need to understand what the problem is that we're going to be addressing or that we're targeting. And enterprise data centers have been seeing challenges with the exponential growth of data. So 40% year on year is an analyst figure. We've seen lots of our customers in far in excess of that triple digit percentage growth. But with the massive growth of data, we have lots of different challenges that breed from this. First and foremost, the more data we have, the more physical stuff we need in place to support it. So disks, disk shelves, storage controllers, servers to present that, make it accessible, networking. All of this adds up, and over time we have a massive estate of physical kit that we then have to manage and support. And the environmentals on the back of that, things like space alone, the power that it draws, cooling, this all adds up. And the vast majority of our data, we create, we use, and then we store away, and we never really touch again. But that data is valuable. We're living in a digital age, so the data is so important for us. We always need to make sure that it's available and secure. And us being human beings, we have an innate ability to break stuff and lose stuff. So being able to make sure that we can get data back is so important. So having a really watertight data protection strategy in place, absolutely essential. Now we've got to do both of these things with the same or even cut resources that we've been doing it for year on year. So in terms of time, money, personnel, so on and so forth. So how can we address this, and how can we help customers to really get a grip on data growth and the ever increasing burden of data storage? Well, StoreSimple is a solution that allows us to harness the power of the cloud and bring this in as an extension of our enterprise data center and actually use this as part of our primary storage platform. And we do this by using a product called StoreSimple. And StoreSimple is a physical thing. So it's a box with redundant controllers, power supplies, and red protected disk drives. And this sits in a data center, exposes a nice SCSI target. So a very standard interface for Windows, Linux, Hyper-V, VMware servers to connect into. But in the box itself, we connect out to Azure Storage, and we allow Azure Storage to be used as part of the storage pool. So this gives us a benefit that we've got local storage in the chassis itself and cloud storage to burst into and for us to use as a data protection platform. Now, any cloud integrated storage device is only going to be as robust as the cloud platform that supports it. And with Azure Storage, we're fortunate enough to have an incredibly scalable, resilient, and available cloud platform with multiple regions throughout the world. So for us in Europe, we've got North and West Europe, which are Dublin and Amsterdam, as we know them. We will geo-replicate data between them. So any data gets written into one data center, three copies created, asynchronously written to a partner data center, three more copies created. So we've got that geo-redundancy in place. And this is a standard feature that we can interoperate with StoreSimple. So what does this actually mean? You know, we've got this great concept, but what does it actually do for us? There are various facets of a storage environment on-premise. We've got primary storage of various tiers, tiers one, two, three, depending on workload, performance, availability characteristics. We've then got at one end, and we've then got archival storage at the other, and then we've got all of the stuff in between. So that's where our primary copy of data lives. We also have, as we touched on before, the backup environment, so disk-based backup and tape-based backup, and any off-site locations that we're either going to do disaster recovery to. That is an additional infrastructure, again, that we have to manage and support. Store Simple allows us to consolidate all of this so that we can provide primary archives, primary storage on-premise with the local disk drives, archival storage in the cloud and everything in between, and the backup data in the cloud as well. So it's a complete tape replacement. Any data we put on Store Simple, we can back up through the use of a function that we call cloud snapshots. And this eliminates the need for us to back up the data using traditional approaches, disk and tape and backup software. So in terms of data lifecycle, because we all understand the terms that have been used over the years, ILM, HSM, all of the various data movement engines that can make sure our data lives on the right storage platform for it. Well, when we first create data, it's used very frequently. The perceived business value is high. So we need that to be on high performance storage. And we've got SSD disks in Store Simple that new data created gets written onto and the most active parts of the data set resides on. As data becomes somewhat more stale, stagnant, we can move it down a tier. So we've got nearline SAS drives in the Store Simple chassis itself. And Store Simple will tier data based on access. So we can tier it down to hard disk drives. We then have, externally to the Store Simple chassis itself, we then have the Azure cloud platform. So the Azure storage element is used for all of the cold data and the backup data. And we can tier data out to Azure. And again, bring it back based on access. Now, the key thing is to note that even if we do have a vast proportion of our data set in Azure, it's still seen as online and available to our host applications. They have no understanding or inclination at all that some of their data might be in the cloud. So that's the life cycle of data, you know, as we would see it being created and then aging off and perhaps becoming active again and then aging off again. Now, from the appliances view, we're going to spend a bit of time on this is slightly more technical detail. This is how the appliance views data lifecycle. So when we have data written to the device, so we create storage volumes as you would do normally from any other storage platform. You present them to one or more hosts, and the hosts will then put the file system on and start using that storage. So we write data first to what we call a linear tier, which is on SSD. So this is persistently written to give us the maximum performance. Acknowledgement goes back to the host and they can continue doing their job. We then very quickly read this data back and we do a couple of things in tandem. We deduplicate the data and we convert it into an object that we call a fingerprint. This data is then written back to another SSD tier. So the SSD dedupe tier is our highest performing storage tier and is used for the most active parts of the data set. We will, at this point, start monitoring data for access. And we'll say, right, okay, parts of the data set are more active than others, so A and B in this instance. C, D, and E are going to be moved down a storage tier, so the on-premises nearline SAS drives. At this point, the data is compressed, so it's stage two of our data reduction. We'll then go one step further. The really cold parts of the data set are encrypted using an AES 256-bit crypto, with an encryption key that you as a customer would specify. All of our encrypted fingerprints are then sent over a TLS connection out to Azure, and they reside in an Azure storage account that you create. So in this situation, we have really leveraged the benefit of cloud storage for the parts of the data set that are least active, whilst keeping the parts of the data set that are most active on the highest performing storage media that we have available. Now, just to reiterate, all of the data that's been written to this storage volume is accessible to the host. So in a situation where we need to retrieve some data from the cloud, the appliance will transparently go off, make the HTTP GET call, return the data back to the appliance and return it back to the requesting server. And this is all completely transparent and seamless. So what does this? This allows us to, as I mentioned, harness the power of cloud computing. So with StorSimple, from a storage perspective, we can really bring the cloud closer to us as a data center. StorSimple supports workloads like file shares. So any file-based archives, file shares, virtual machines, SQL workloads, SharePoint blob using RBS, potentially some SharePoint content databases, performance depending. We can support all of these workloads using StorSimple. We can also start to leverage the power of the cloud in terms of disaster recovery testing, things like data mining, any workloads we need to migrate to the cloud. StorSimple is an excellent conduit up to the cloud for this. So I mentioned earlier that we can eliminate backup using traditional approaches, so backup software, writing to disk, maybe writing to tape and then off-siting. But how does this actually work? And why is it, you know, why is it a replacement for backup? Well, in a nutshell, we use the cloud for a primary storage tier, and it makes sense for us. If the vast majority of our cold data is going to be in the cloud, why don't we take the small amount of hot data and put that in the cloud along with a metadata layer to say, right, in the event of a localized disaster, full-scale disaster, let's be able to use this as a full recovery point, recovering to the same appliance, to a different appliance, or with the newer versions of StorSimple, a StorSimple virtual appliance in Azure. And we can absolutely do all this. The backup mechanism is called the cloud snapshot. And the cloud snapshot is an incredibly efficient process. It's essentially an incremental forever, or a delta-based approach, whereby only deduplicated, compressed, and then finally encrypted fingerprints are moved up to the cloud along with the metadata so that we can store that in a usable recovery point. We can have schedules that kick off cloud snapshots so that we can mimic our grandfather, father, son rotation policies. So we can have our dailies, weeklies, monthlies, yearlies, various schedules, or we call them backup policies, that focus on one or more volumes. And these are really, really configurable, really, really customizable. From a recovery perspective, because backing up's great, and we can back up all day long, but the real value comes from the recovery. And our recovery is done by exploiting the fact that we use metadata very, very extensively within the system. We have a cloud snapshot in Azure, which comprises all of the data from our volumes that have been included within the cloud snapshot. In order to restore this, all we do is we download the metadata for that volume. This allows us to an appliance. This allows us to bring a volume online really, really quickly. We don't have to transfer tons of data back and forth across the internet in order to bring a volume online. Even if we've got a 40 terabyte volume with 35 terabytes of data written, we can bring it online in Data Center 2 really, really quickly. And this is because of the metadata management that is in play in StorSimple. So this recovery is one of the key factors that allows us to be such an effective recovery tool and disaster recovery tool. The cloud is essentially used as our backup target. It is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. So anywhere that we have a StorSimple device and our own administration team, we can restore data. So the things we need, obviously, a host to present the data to. And we often find now that StorSimple is one of the first platforms that are returned to service in the event of a disaster. So as a quick summary, we've got, you know, three main pillars. The cloud allows us to spin up and down infrastructure on demand. So within Azure, we can spin up IaaS virtual machines. We can leverage storage. We can do all of the good stuff as we need it. And this is the absolute epitome of cloud computing. And that's exactly what we want to leverage. So on-demand storage within StorSimple. If we want to grow a storage environment by say 50 terabytes using traditional approaches, we'd have to go out and acquire kit. We'd have to bring it in, we'd have to install it, we'd then have to hook it up, provision it. With Store Simple, you quite simply just create more storage volumes. We scale out using the cloud. Data will then be tiered back and forth depending on access, and we can apply the same levels of data protection to our newly created volumes as we've created for our old volumes. And a real key thing for me is the whole consolidation piece. No longer do we have to have separate storage platforms for different workloads, separate storage platforms for protection and recovery, and then separate software which overlay this, which moves data around, which backs data up, which protects data, maybe moves it to another site for disaster recovery. And we can do all of this with a combined Store Simple and Azure platform. So on that note, I'm going to hand over to Scott Ferguson, who's going to share his experiences with Store Simple.
Thank you. Morning, everybody. My name is Scott Ferguson. I'm the Global IT Manager for Genesis Oil & Gas. And today I'd like to share with you some of our experiences with Store Simple in the past 12 months. Just a little bit of information about our company. We're a leading oil and gas engineering consultancy. Provide front-end engineering solutions for all the major oil and gas companies that are on the market today. We have one of the largest subsea designing teams in the world, provide onshore and offshore project delivery for our clients. We have some incredibly skilled engineers, some 1,500 across our organisation. We've been in the business for about 25 years. We have some real extensive experience in front-end engineering. Our company is owned by a parent company called Technip, who are a leading management, fabrication, engineering and operations operator in the oil and gas industry, and they have some 40,000 people worldwide. For Genesis, our typical activities comprise of around 2.7 million man-hours per year, and that spanned over the cross of 2,500 projects in 2013. So we tend to do very small projects, some of them ranging from a week or 2 weeks up to about 6 to 12 months. And we're located in around 17 offices worldwide. So what led us down the route of replacing our sand technology? So this is quite a big statement for me, and says to me that our current sand solutions that we have in place today are probably not robust enough and scalable enough in order to deliver the kind of growth we're expecting if we was to look at this statement here. Our challenges, our current sand solution was no longer fit for purpose and we were struggling to meet our business SLAs. Our typical data growth was increasing by about 1.5 terabytes per month, which was really surprising. Our RTO and RPOs of our disaster recovery objectives were increasingly hard to achieve, and it was near impossible to difficult to fully test our DR solution. Our hardware was out of date in many of our offices and needed replacing in 2014. Our backup and archive solutions needed replacing. Our costs will continue to increase with our previous backup technology and offsite storage solution. And the actual time it took to look after our backup systems probably equated to one full-time employee, which is, in this day and age, I felt was a bit silly. So solution options considered. So we could have replaced our sand with a traditional sand technology. We could have moved to a software storage as a service solution. We could have gone with traditional sand with backup to the cloud, or gone for a modern technology, which is a cloud integrated storage solution. So to try and understand what was the best option fit for us, we drew up a matrix highlighted all the areas where those solutions would fit our challenges. And as you can see, cloud integrated storage ticked all the boxes for us. So we needed to understand what our challenges were and what our perceived challenges were. So performance. So of any new sand technology, it needs to perform better than your previous solution. Network constraints. If we go into a cloud-based solution, are there any network issues that we need to be made aware of, and how do we remediate those in terms of upgrades and new network technologies? Meeting our recovery and DR needs. As I said before, it was increasingly difficult to meet our recovery time objectives with our previous solution. So any new solution would need to be a lot more robust and a lot more efficient. Security in the cloud. If our data is going to be in the cloud, how secure is it going to be? Make sure you engage your stakeholders. Bring them along on a journey. Make sure they understand what you're trying to achieve with cloud-integrated storage. Are there any legal implications? For Genesis, we have a number of contracts with oil and gas companies which have some antiquated value, should we say, and they want their data stored on-premise and on tape because that's the type of technology they understand. So make sure if there's any legal implications that they're addressed before you proceed. Understand the cost and marketing hype of ROI. There's been lots of reviews saying that cloud integrated storage would save you a ton of money. It's good to understand that during the POC phase of your deployment. And Microsoft as a enterprise storage provider. This is a new market for Microsoft, and can they deliver as being a storage vendor? So some of the things that we could validate during a proof of concept was performance, network constraints, meeting our recovery and DR objectives, and cloud security. So I'd like to go through some of our experiences that we've seen in the last 12 months with StorSimple. So the actual appliance itself and how the configuration works. So the POC device that we obtained at the end of 2013 is the device that's in production today. Since it was installed, it's been incredibly easy to operate, to manage. The user interface is incredibly simple. In my career, I've managed a number of different sand technologies, and some of them can be quite antiquated and difficult to navigate and problematic. Our first installation was operational within one day. We've now deployed a number of devices in our region. The latest deployment took 30 minutes to configure and set up, which I think is absolutely amazing. In terms of the cloud piece for the configuration, it's three simple steps. You log onto your Azure portal, you click on storage, you create a storage bucket and record the storage key, which is a customer-generated key. That's it. That's your tiered solution into Azure operational. So vendor support, we've had great support from Microsoft, and they've helped us every step of the way during our deployment. Ultima Business Solutions, who is our partner in the UK, they've been very responsive, and they've also helped with our deployment, and they continue to help us today with other aspects of Azure. This is a kind of a statement, just how easy it is to install a StorSimple device. If you're an infrastructure storage specialist, once you actually install a StorSimple device, you'll be very surprised how easy it is compared to other sand technology. So performance. So as one of the challenges, you know, does your new solution perform the same or better? And obviously the answer is it performs better. Right across the board on both read-write operations during the test cases that we carried out. So local deduplication expectations. So we know that the appliance deduplicates and compresses, but for Genesis we needed to understand what data we had and what kind of appliance we needed to obtain, because there are a number of different appliances available in the StorSimple range. So for Genesis, we tend to reuse quite a lot of our data because some of the project we work on have similar parameters. That data is copied, modified to meet our customers' specifications, and then delivered as part of a final deliverable. So we estimated that we'd have at least a 2-to-1 deduplication ratio. So initially in our London office, we had 30 terabytes of data on-premise. With a 2-to-1 deduplication ratio, we expected to have 15 terabytes on-premise. We decided to procure the StorSimple 5520 appliance, which has a local capacity of 10 terabytes and tiers 8 terabytes. Because our data was going to be backed up into Azure, and we wanted to make sure that our old data was tiered to Azure also, being able to have this appliance meant that all of our old data was no longer on-premise. The pointers that point to that old data on the file system are still viewable by the user, and they can click on it, and when they click on the file, it gets downloaded from Azure. It takes a little bit longer, but it means that you you don't need a massive storage capacity on-premise. So data migration. So with that in mind, we know we have 30 terabytes of raw data, and expectation was 2-to-1 deduplication with 15 terabytes. So this is a graph taken from the StorSimple appliance. It's been cut up a bit just to show you the migration of our data. So as you can see, the end of December 2013, we did a short POC with the appliance, the little tiny green blip at the bottom. Then in the beginning of January, we started our full-scale migration, started to move some non-essential servers. Any new servers were provisioned on StorSimple instead of our old SAN technology. And then we did a major migration over since the end of the end of April. And as you can see, we just started to pip seven terabytes of data when we finished our migration. So this meant we achieved a 5-to-1 deduplication ratio with our current data set of 30 terabytes. And since then, we've actually provisioned an additional 10 terabytes of storage on that appliance. So effectively, we have 41 terabytes. And we're still, because of the fantastic deduplication and compression ratio, we're only using 6 terabytes of local capacity. We haven't even started tiering in any data to Azure yet. So something to think about. We have all our data on our appliance now, and is our infrastructure and network able to accommodate cloud services? And I think this is relevant not just to StorSimple, but to Office 365 if you use that in your environment, SharePoint Online, and any other cloud services. It's important that you need to build in capacity, redundancy, and scalability to support cloud services. Because cloud services are important to the operation of StorSimple specifically, you know, there could be risks where your backups would fail if your data is tiered to Azure and you try to access data that's in Azure, it won't be tiered back to the appliance because you have internet outages. Some of the other things we're considering as we move more of our services into Azure is maybe having an express route or a CDN into the Microsoft data center. So we have our data, we need to back it up, but how secure is our data in the StorSimple security model? So on-premise, we have typical things that you have of any iSCSI SAN. We have access control records and CHAP authentication to make sure the host can only speak directly to the storage and that data is secure in transit. All the data that's actually written to the appliance obviously goes through the deduplication and compression tier and is encrypted with a 256 block level encryption key. This is customer generated, so you have access to that key. Obviously you need to store that safely just to ensure that you, if there are any issues with the SAN, you can recover that data. In transit, so when you start backing up and recovering your data from Azure, it happens over HTTPS, over the internet, so it's as secure as your bank account. And in Azure, there is a, in your blob storage that you created, there is a blob storage security key. This is what is actually put on the appliance in order for the appliance to speak to your Azure blob storage. This key again is customer generated, again you need to store this safely to have confidence you can recover your data from Azure. In addition, There is Azure does data obfuscation. So this means that all data blocks that are transmitted from Azure, from the appliance, are, when they reach Azure, they're scattered over Azure storage. So in terms of the end-to-end security model, to me, this is an incredibly secure solution. And it would be very difficult to reverse engineer to gain access to your data because you have two security keys and your data is scattered across Azure. And the only way to recover that data is using the fingerprints, which is known by the appliance. So now we know that that our data is secure, we need to back up our data. So StorSimple has a very customizable backup policy scheduler. And the scheduler should obviously be based on your business data retention policy. For Genesis, we actually contacted our legal counsel to understand what our contractual obligations were to our clients to retain our data. So this is an example that's taken from the appliance. It's a pretty standard schedule in my view. But the great thing about this is that the once that schedule has been created, the appliance will then initiate the backups to Azure automatically. There is no operator intervention. It just works. And some of the key points to take from this is that resources required for backup operations is now zero. Once you've actually configured the appliance and it's backing up, you never need to touch it. Also, resources required for restore operations has been reduced by 95%. And I'll go into a bit more detail about that shortly. But another massive success for us is every single backup operation has been successful. We have been in operation now with StorSimple for about 7.5 months, and from the logs that have been showing us, every single backup operation has been successful, and every single restore operation that's been carried out has been 100% successful. So this is another fantastic graph that is generated on the appliance. And this shows you what your backup and cloud deduplication ratio is. So as you can see there, you've got a red bar which shows you about 1.8 petabytes of raw data that would be backed up into Azure if you used it without any deduplication compression. And after deduplication, we have the little green bar at the bottom. So I'll just pull out some key metrics from that graph. So raw backups, 1.8 petabytes, the equivalent of 1,400 LTO5 backup tapes. And that's costing around £20,000 worth of expenditure. After deduplication, so it's about 30 terabytes. So this is your actual data that's in Azure, is about 30 terabytes. And you achieve a 98% deduplication ratio. And this is fantastic because deduplicated data that's in Azure is what you pay for. And I'll go into a little bit more about cost later on. So in terms of the recovery process comparison, I drew up a quick flow diagram here of what our normal SAN to tape recovery process consists of. So you normally get a request. The operator would give the offsite company a call. Tapes get delivered. The tapes would be catalogued. The service would be restored. It would be validated. And if it's successful, great. If it's not and it's failed, then you have to start the entire process again. And for us, we generally see about a 48-hour recovery process for this for a traditional tape recovery scenario. So what's the difference with StorSimple? So pretty similar. You get a request, but the blocks that are highlighted in blue are now in full control of the operator. He logs onto the appliance, he selects a date, he clones the volume, he registers the volume, he restores the data or powers up the VM. It's validated as a success, or it fails, and you have to start the process again. But the difference is that it's dramatically reduced. So in some scenarios, we've actually been able to achieve a full restoration of a file, a folder, or a VM in 6 minutes. So this was the worst case scenario, and it was a bigger data set. Another thing to add is that there is no block deduplicated. So if the appliance has those data blocks already, when you recover the file or the VM, it dramatically decreases the RTO. So nothing is rehydrated from Azure because it just reuses the blocks that are on the appliance. So disaster recovery strategy. So for our DR, we required at least two appliances, and they were procured in the London and Aberdeen offices. So now we have a full site-to-site redundancy capability. But since we've adopted Store Simple, other entities within our group have also wanted to migrate their traditional SAN and backup technologies to Store Simple. So now in the European region, we have a fairly robust recovery solution. And at the bottom there, you can see the type of appliances that we have in each of those offices. And another thing to add is that with the new 8000 series appliance, there's no longer a need to have a second physical appliance. You can do all your DR recovery directly into Azure. So now I want to talk a little bit about the DR process. So in this scenario, we have Aberdeen and London appliances, and they have their respective storage blobs in Azure. For some reason, the Aberdeen appliance or the site has been incapacitated, and we have to invoke DR. Normally, this would be a very scary moment for any IT department, and there'd be a lot of running around, getting their DR processes, and starting to invoke DR where they can. But for Store Simple, it's very different. The operator comes along with the Aberdeen configuration file. He loads that configuration file on the London appliance. The London appliance then speaks to the Aberdeen storage in Azure. The Aberdeen storage in Azure then starts to rehydrate metadata. That metadata starts to display the volumes on the London Store Simple appliance. And again, if those VMs or then the data already exist on the appliance, then the recovery process is a lot quicker because it uses those data blocks instead of downloading data from Azure. Also to add, the backups will still continue to operate into the Aberdeen storage container in Azure, which means when the Aberdeen site becomes operational, you reload the configuration file on the Aberdeen site and deactivate it on the London appliance, bring up all those VMs again, and they have access to the latest data that's as per the backup in the Aberdeen Azure storage blob. So this is some key observations for the recovery process. It's incredibly quick, easy to follow, and if you ever get the opportunity to try it, you wonder why you haven't migrated to a storage solution like Store Simple quicker, because a tape system is so antiquated, slow, and adds no value. If the data blocks already exist, nothing is rehydrated from Azure, which dramatically increases your RTO and reduces your ingress costs because the data blocks already exist on the appliance. Every executed file and server restoration to date has been 100% successful. This is something I can never achieve with my previous backup solution. And I have absolute confidence in Store Simple and its recovery processes. Expected growth. So on this graph, in green, I have our raw data storage capacity. So that's what's been provisioned on Store Simple today. And the red graph below shows the what's actually been inactive, what is actually active on Store Simple. So if we were to continue with our traditional SAN technology, would have had to purchase more disks, more shelves, in order to meet our growth. But with Store Simple, we can do that immediately. We can provision the disks and not have to worry about capacity because of the unique tiering solution in Store Simple. So with our costs, so we were expecting to have quite a high cost initially with Store Simple. Reason being is that we underestimated our deduplication and compression ratio. So as you can see about now, today we've actually reached what our expected cost would be on day one. And the reason why it's been a gradual increase is because of our backup schedules. So we have a number of backup schedules in Azure now, and those obviously cost money, but it's very incremental. You're actually very much in control of your costs now, because as long as you understand what your unit cost is for your Azure blob cost, and what's been provisioned on your appliance, you can estimate what your predicted cost is going to be for the next 12 months, Obviously, if you have more volumes provisioned on StoreSimple, then that cost may increase, but that's a known cost. So some comments on Windows Azure. So the StoreSimple offer that we signed up for was a 3-year agreement. It's a separate agreement from your traditional enterprise agreement, so it's not a bolt-on for Office 365, for example. In terms of pricing, the pricing is capped. So on sign-in, you have a fixed cost. But I'm sure, as you've seen on the in the news, every month Google or Amazon drop their costs, and Microsoft will meet those costs, or they may drop their costs first, and Amazon and Google will follow suit. So cloud storage is becoming increasingly cheap. The ability to adjust spend commit. So what this means is the first year of our agreement, we had a bunch of credit from Azure, from Microsoft for Azure, and at the end of the first year, it's a true-up. So we only start paying for actually what we're using. So those costs in the previous slide would be what we'd be paying for if we were actually paying a true-up cost on a monthly basis. And Microsoft reseller, Ultima Solutions, they've been very, very accommodating. They've helped us make the most out of our Azure subscription, not just with storage, but also other technologies that are in Azure, like HPC and other solutions that we're looking at in 2015. They've also been helping us with reporting, making sure we understand our consumption and spend, and helping us with some predictions. Our lessons learned. During our POC, we were unable to migrate our POC trial account to an enterprise agreement account, which resulted in us having to reset up the appliance. I understand from Ben yesterday that's actually been resolved now, but it wasn't very easy to move from a POC to an enterprise agreement at that time, but that's been resolved, so that should be good for you if you ever decide to do a POC with StoreSimple. Because the trial account that we had had the cloud configuration, it meant that it was affecting our snapshots because the account was deactivated after the 30-day trial. Cloud snapshots were effective, and they weren't, and our appliance wasn't backing up to Azure. But the good thing about it is Microsoft support are very responsive, and they logged onto our appliance and fixed the problem within, I think it was about 2 hours. So it was a very, very quick service from Microsoft to fix that issue. Also, understand your Azure billing and reporting. It can be quite complex. Have you ever seen the EA portal? It can be quite cumbersome, and there are lots and lots of different menus to filter through, and also options that are reported in there which may not be clear to you. So that's one of the things that your account reseller will be able to assist you with. So in summary, build the case for change, prove it with POC. Those are very important. If you don't understand the appliance you haven't proven that it works for your business, then it's likely to fail. Actually manage your stakeholders through the process. These will help you help you to achieve your goals, and make the most out of your Azure subscription. We now have 5 appliances across the European region, and we will continue to expand those numbers when our previous older SAN technologies are up for renewal. Storage is a great starting place for Azure. It's very easy to onboard with, and once you're on the Azure portal, you can start playing with other solutions that are on there, and it starts to build up your appetite for Azure. Our future plans, so we're going to be moving our test dev environment. We have quite a lot of developers building in-house applications. They build them on their production environments and tend to break it quite a lot. So we're going to move those into Azure because then they can spin them up and spin them down as and when they need it, and there's a known cost for it. And it doesn't impact on our production environment. Secondly, I think it's next month, we're going to start building out a HPC solution just in Azure. So no on-premise HPC. Everything's going to be in Azure, and we're going to use some our account reseller to help us build out that solution. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Scott. That's excellent. We've got to the floor for some questions. Is that a question?
Obviously, the implementation of StoreSimple will not be
Can we, sorry, Bev, can we grab a microphone, please, guys? Is that possible? Okay.
So how do you see store symbol or not for okay. smaller offices?
Yeah, okay.
For the smaller offices?
So on site, especially. Okay. Small, very right. far offices, I suppose, which are yep. on site, maybe they don't, yeah. need, they don't need the capacity mm-hmm. of store symbol.
Yeah, okay.
How do you see those?
So the question is, Scott, how do you see Store Simple for smaller sites? Is it a viable option for your smaller geographic locations? Where would you use Store Simple globally, and how are you going to expand your use of Store Simple across the group?
So we have quite a rugged model on how we start expanding our IT services to other offices. If you're in one of the slides, I can go back to it. There is a you can see we have one-man offices, 10-man offices, 30-man offices, 100-man offices, and then scaling up to 500-plus people offices. I think it'll only warrant a Store Simple device if we went up to about 100 users, only because then you'd be looking at dedicated internet connections, probably dual internet connections, because your backups are now a critical part of that architecture. So, probably about 100-man offices would warrant a Store Simple appliance.
Do we have any other questions from the floor? There's a gentleman over there in the middle section.
I wonder if there is still a need for third-party backup software.
I think it's a choice, really. If you have a Veeam infrastructure, for example, for your backups, and you've got commitments for that solution, then obviously it's viable that you can use Store Simple with Veeam, or you can use Store Simple by itself. Personally, I've seen no need for a secondary backup solution. Store Simple does everything out of the box.
Yeah, because when you have workloads that are not VSS aware, then you end up with an inconsistent backup of that DB2 database, for example.
I mean, there are other ways you can mitigate that. So with SQL, for example, uses VSS, but you can also do offline backups with SQL. So you have confidence that backup for that database service is backed up using the snapshot technology in Store Simple.
So just to add to that, with Store Simple, we have a Store Simple snapshot manager, which is an MMC snap-in that adds the required VSS components so that we can invoke VSS for backups of, as Scott mentioned, SQL machines. If you wanted to do anything DB2 specific, then you'd need to look at probably writing some scripts to do that. Do we have any other questions on the floor? Gentleman in the middle section again.
Thank you. I just wanted to, if you could just confirm for me that you've got 41 terabytes of provisioned raw data across all your volumes, but as of yet, everything that your users are accessing is local.
That's
because
correct.
Nothing's tiered?
Nothing is tiered at all. Everything's local on the appliance. And because of deduplication compression, we've achieved a 6 terabyte on-premise capacity for the 41 terabytes that's been provisioned.
I thought that's what you said, but thank you.
So I think as an extension to that, so Azure for Scott and in the case of Genesys is being used quite simply as a backup target. So cloud snapshots are going off to Azure that allow them the DR capability to go between physical sites. But given their data sets, I mean, your mileage may vary with regards to deduplication and compression. We will never guarantee or even estimate, finger in the air, a deduplication ratio. Scott's data is particularly susceptible to deduplication and compression techniques. So I suppose in Genesys's scenario, they're using the cloud initially as a backup target, but they've still got that burst capability. Thanks for that. That's a good question. Have we got any other questions on the floor? Looking around? No? Okay, cool.
One more.
Oh, there's a gentleman in the middle section. Can we grab the microphone, please? Thank you.
Hi.
Hello.
So what is your RPO and how do you reach it?
Our RPO, so at the moment we have, on our backups we have, it happens on a scheduled basis of about, from about 8 p.m. every night. So we're still simple, understand that we can increase our RPO, but we haven't gone down, we haven't explored that yet.
Sorry, I didn't catch what it was on now.
Sorry, can you hear me?
What is your schedule now?
So our schedule now is, just bring it up. So in this schedule here, all of these are initiated at about 8 p.m. every evening.
8 p.m., okay. Sure. So once every day?
Every day. Monday to Friday.
Thank you.
So the slide we're looking at now is Scott's backup policy slide. I mentioned earlier around that we can mimic GFS rotation. So grandfather, father, son. So in Scott's example, he has everything from dailies, weeklies, monthlies, and yearlies, and they all have different cycles. So do you want to talk through a bit through around the retention and how you
sure.
see
so,
that being
the
used?
Daily retention is a Monday to Thursday a backup policy, and that data is retained for 60 days, and then it's deleted, and the backup cycle starts again. For example, our weekly is a 24-week, and it happens every Friday. And it goes on for 24 weeks, as I said, and then that backup cycle is restarted again. So it's very similar to what any other backup solution that you have in place today, but the beauty is that once you set it, you forget it.
Great stuff. Any other questions on the floor? Is the gentleman on the front section? Okay.
You had on one slide that you used the express route.
Yeah,
but Express Route is only in London, isn't it? In London and Amsterdam. How do you get the data from Norway or Newcastle? Or?
There are. It is one of those solutions that's been expanded as telecom companies start to be onboarded. It is definitely available in the UK, and there are other ISPs that provide Express Route, such as Verizon, for example, and they do that in the countries where they operate as well.
Okay, so you can get Express Route directly from Norway, can you?
Directly from Norway. I'm not sure about Norway, but it'd be worth talking to your provider to understand if that's an option for you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, any other burning questions as yet? No. Okay, cool. So thanks very much again for that, Scott. That's fantastic. We're just going to show you, basically whiz through a quick, not really live demo. That's a bit extensive, really. But just show you the administrative interface for the new 8000 series, so that the management is delivered out of Azure. So many of you will be familiar with the Azure portal. Quick show of hands, Azure customers in the room? Probably better raise my hand as well. Yeah, okay. Anybody not seen the Azure portal? No one in the room. Fantastic. That's good. Okay, so on the eagle-eyed amongst you may have noticed that there is a Store Simple service that we can use in Azure. The Store Simple Manager service allows us to manage holistically newer devices. So this is the 8000 series and the Store Simple virtual appliances, and we can manage them irrespective of their physical location, i.e. Between geographies, or between countries, between physical locations, and we can see aggregated uses for those individual devices, so things like the amount of primary storage that we're using, the amount of cloud storage that we're using, how much we can provision, any alerts or jobs that may have failed over a period of time. We can also then view things like backups. So we can have a look, we can actually explore the backup catalogue at a top level view and drill into each individual device volumes and backup policies. So this gives us, this is another extension of the single pane of glass management, whereby we don't have to log into each individual interface directly to do our management tasks. Jobs and alerting is also holistic across all. But if we want some device-specific information, we can drill into individual devices. So we've got a couple of virtual devices here and a physical device. We can drill into a physical device, for instance, and we can see device-specific information. So how much local storage on the appliance itself we're using, how much cloud storage we're using over a period of time, so different sample periods. And likewise, how much storage we've provisioned and how much we're able to provision, as well as doing things like alerting and job information on that specific device. Any device, whether it's physical or virtual, we have to create storage volumes in order to use a storage platform. It's not really much use without. And we have this concept of a volume container that we can create one or more volumes in. A volume container means that we can specify a bandwidth throttle. So we can limit the amount of bandwidth going up and down between the appliance and the cloud. We can also specify a specific storage account in Azure. We can also specify a custom encryption key for a specific volume container. So you'd look at using volume containers to segregate data sets potentially. Within a volume container, we can create individual volumes of ranging sizes from anything from a gig up to 64 terabytes. A volume container is, the reason that we create volumes in volume containers is a volume container is our unit of failover. So if we've got multiple appliances, physical perhaps between different sites or virtual in the cloud, we can fail over a volume container between these devices as we see fit. We specify backup policies on each individual device as well. So we would then create a policy to say, let's take a cloud snapshot every, however, let's say for these couple of volumes, we'll give it a name. And we can specify the type of backup and how frequently we're going to take it, how long we're going to retain it for, and when we're going to start. So this really is, as Scott mentioned, it's a set and forget. You create your policies and quite simply just let them run. If there are any issues, then as we've seen in the holistic Store Simple Manager service view, we're going to be alerted by a red exclamation mark if anything were to fail on those jobs, for instance. And quite simply, that is as much as really we need to go into at this stage for the new 8000 management interface. I think it's very slick. The modus operandi is very much taking away from extensive storage management to just quite simply creating storage volumes, provisioning them to our hosts, taking backups, and if we need to, we can then do the failover. If we need to, we can do failback. As well as migrating into the cloud in order to do things like disaster recovery testing, which is a great use case for the new virtual appliance. Migration up to the cloud, but also things like data mining as well. So any questions on that side of things? There's a question, gentlemen, on the left-hand section. Ah, thank you. My microphone's coming, sir.
Can you tell us more about the virtual appliances, how they work in conjunction with the physical ones? Yeah. Can we have also virtual appliances without having the physical ones?
Okay, good. So first off, the virtual appliance comes following an acquisition of a physical appliance. So you have to have a physical appliance in order to get this virtual appliance. But the use of the virtual appliance, we can vary. The virtual appliances are today subject to things like reboots, so we wouldn't So we would not recommend at all that any production workloads go onto the virtual appliances if it can't sustain, if that service can't survive an outage. But the virtual appliances can be spun up and spun down based on requirements. So if we wanted to do DR testing, for instance, we had our physical appliance, we can create a virtual appliance, which is as easy as hitting the create virtual appliance button on the navigation ribbon. We're going to give it a name. You specify a virtual network. So potentially you will have created virtual networks in advance with some virtual machines, and we can then attach this virtual appliance to a virtual network. And then decide if you want to use a new storage account or an old storage account. Quite simply, you do that, you hit the tick, and it will go away in about 10, 15 minutes or so. Go make yourself a coffee or a cup of tea, come back, and it'll be done. So if we wanted to fail over a volume container, for instance, between a physical appliance and a virtual appliance, we can use the failover button on the navigation tab. And we can specify the volume containers that we want to fail over. So if we fail over this, for example, we choose a target device. Check the tick box and hit go. And then essentially what we do is we change the ownership in the cloud storage account for that volume container, saying rather than the physical device owning it, it's a virtual device owning it. And because we do all of our we call this data mobility, because we use all of our data mobility based on cloud snapshots, all the data is in the cloud. So it doesn't matter where the physical appliances are, it doesn't matter where the virtual appliances are. So that's in a failover situation. We can also clone into the cloud as well. So if we wanted to do this, we can search for backups. If we search for a particular volume, for instance, let's change the date and give us a couple of options. And we can specify a particular volume, for instance, and we can hit clone. And we can really easily, very quickly, clone this volume onto a target device, give it a new volume name. So and then choose the access control record. So this is the host that's going to be accessing this this storage volume. Specify the access control record, which could be the same. If we want to just do a like-for-like, we've got a sandboxed environment in Azure, then we can have a like-for-like machine, or we can specify a new machine. And you hit go, and again, it's another really straightforward operation. The Azure manager, the StoreSimple manager service in Azure does all of the heavy lifting for you, and quite simply, we'll have a clone of the volume created that's now exposed to a new host in the cloud. Does that answer your question? Cool, excellent, good stuff. So there's lots and lots of potential possibilities here of how we can use this this infrastructure, and how we can build it out, and how we can do different how we can support different workloads. And it's a question here from a gentleman in the middle section. Thank you.
But is it right, 7,000 appliances you cannot check in? That management service.
That's correct. The
only 8,000.
Yeah, there's a line in the sand. So the 8,000 and upwards, we can do all the management and all of these functions out of Azure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Cool. Any other questions on the floor? There's a gentleman here on the front, on the left.
I wonder if it's possible to imagine a scenario with a active access between a physical device and a virtual one. Let's say I want to access data from the cloud also. In a scenario like using the filer directly from the cloud for other sites. Is that possible or should be?
So using a store simple virtual appliance in the cloud as a storage repository for machines on premises or for users on premises?
Yes, to have them work together in the same time as active.
But are you talking about between a physical appliance and a virtual appliance?
Yes.
Okay, so that today is not supported. We would only advocate that a single appliance, whether it's physical or virtual, has control over a particular volume container. There's actually nothing to say that you can't exploit the benefits of the store simple virtual appliance in Azure and actually create them in different regions, maybe with a Windows file server, for instance, either serving at SMB or NFS, or a Linux server, if that's your preference. And then connect this over a site-to-site VPN, perhaps, to a small office. So Scott's example in the 7,000 world is that a single appliance is going to be too large for the smaller sites. But perhaps using a store simple virtual appliance for smaller sites with a site-to-site VPN might be an option for less critical workloads, things like your file shares.
Yes, but that means the virtual appliance will be the master of the volume, right? In that case, the virtual appliance will be the master of the selected volume. In that case, in that case, we will have some volumes which are mastered by the physical device, and some other volumes which are mastered by the virtual ones. Something like that.
That can be the case. Yeah, absolutely. The store simple virtual appliance can be used independently, so it can be used as a storage platform for servers. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem. Anything else on the floor? No? Excellent. Okay, well, in that case, thank you very much to Scott and the team at Genesys for coming and sharing their experiences. It's been excellent working with these guys over the last year, and we're really looking forward to how we can help them build out their environments moving forward and taking advantage of Azure. Thanks to all of you guys for coming. Hope you found it useful. We're going to be around at the end. Check back on the PowerPoint. We're going to be at the here at the end for any questions. If anybody wants to have a chat offline, you can find us both actually on Twitter. Our email addresses are in this deck. It'd be worth if you hit onto that. We'll have a bunch of related content, the labs, and which I'm sure some of you may have been looking at later in the week. Earlier in the week. Microsoft Solutions Experience and Tech Expo and RC Experts have already gone, I'm afraid. In terms of downloading these decks and the content, so our session code is CDP B351. There was another Store Simple session earlier in the week, which is CDP B350, so you can download both of those. Our email addresses are on the screen. Feel free to reach out. Any questions, we'd be delighted to catch up with you. All the usual resources stuff, links to more information, get certified on Azure. Please do submit evaluations. They're really, really useful for us to know what you found useful, what you didn't, and how we can tailor this to give you the best value. And we'll leave it there. So thank you very much indeed, guys.